part of the universe, and also influence us to change our way of life through the influence of such karma. Although it is difficult to understand why these different karmas affect at different periods, there are reasons for that. The reason for experiencing the effect of the karma within this life only, in the next life and at any time, is due to our mental beat, which is called Javana Chitta. In other words, the mental beat or stage is responsible for the fruitions of karma. Those students who have studied Abhidhamma can understand the meaning of Javana Chitta. It means mental impulse or mental beat. However, I am not going to explain this item today. So our good and bad deeds, the idea we implant in our mind during one of the mental beats, condition the result of karmas according to different stages or mental impulses. Rebirth. There are three words that people use to talk about life hereafter. They are rebirth, reincarnation, and transmigration. However, none of these words convey the real meaning of the word used by the Buddha to explain what will happen to the life after death. These words give different meaning according to certain beliefs upheld by others. The Buddha has used one word, that is punabhava, meaning becoming again. After gaining his enlightenment, the Buddha proclaimed that he can recall many of his own previous births and the previous existence of others. Further he said, no more becoming again for me. The Buddha did not try to prove the existence of rebirth by giving more details, since it was a common belief among most of existing religions in India at that time. But he gave enough rational reason as to how rebirth takes place. Because different religions interpreted it in different ways according to their traditional beliefs. When we say rebirth or incarnation, we create an idea in our mind that we will appear again. That means the physical body with the same features and the mental attitude. They maintain such belief by depending on the concept of I. When we analyze this concept, we can understand that this concept is not agreeable with the Buddha's teaching, because in reality there is no such person, I. Although we are two-legged at the moment, becoming again can take place as four-legged one. That depends on how we use this life. So human can become animals, animals can become human, human can become deva or angels or spirits or ghosts. That is why it is not advisable for us to use the word reincarnation and transmigration. If we use these two words, we have to accept that there is a permanent entity or soul which migrates from life to life. But the Buddhist concept of becoming again differs from the other. Becoming again takes place due to some of those karma that I explained earlier. So it depends on our good and bad actions or the karma, but not on our belief or concept. In a single life, each thought moment flashes in and out of being, giving rise to its raptasa with its perishing. Strictly speaking, this momentary rise and fall of thoughts is the birth and death. Thus, even in a single life, we undergo countless birth and death every second. But because the mental process continues with the support of a single physical body, we regard the mind-body continuum as constituting a single life. What we ordinarily mean by death is the cessation of the body's vital function. When the physical body loses its vitality, it can no longer support the current of consciousness, the mental side of this process. But as long as there is a clinging to life, a desire to go on existing, the current of consciousness does not come to a stop with the body's loss of life. Rather, when death takes place, when the body dies away, the mental current, driven by the thirst for more existence, will spring up again with the support of new physical body. One which has just come into being through the meeting of sperm and egg. Thus, rebirth takes place immediately after this. The stream of memory may be interrupted and the sense of identity transferred to the new situation, but the entire accumulation of experience and disposition has been transmitted to the newborn being, and the cycle of becoming again to revolve for still another term. For Buddhism, therefore, death does not spell either the entrance to eternal life or complete annihilation. It is rather recombination mind and matter to a new birth which will be followed by more growth, decay, and then by still another day. Some people cannot understand how a human being can become an animal in the next life. It is true that a man cannot become an animal after his death, but the man who has created animal thoughts in his mind, and such animal thoughts and action produce animal life, but not a human. Man who behaves as an animal goes on molding an animal life according to his inhuman thoughts. In fact, such people are animals in human form. Those who abused human dignity are responsible for the creations of animal life. At the same time, some people cannot understand how animals again come back to human life. Unless we study the nature of mind and mental process and how mental process changes the life process, no one can understand about these changes. Becoming an animal or human means changing the outward manifestations of elements and energies of the mental process and life current into different shapes according to our karmic energy. So, in the animal's mind, the karmic energy is submerged and cannot absorb as humans do. But after this, if there are some good karmic seeds in the storehouse of consciousness, and if that animal had not done more and more bad karmic action within that lifetime, then again that life can turn into human life. Therefore it is not difficult to understand. Now we must try to understand how rebirth takes place. As Buddhists, we believe that after our death, there will be another life or life process continuing again and again until we attain perfection or final goal, that is Nirvana. Whether we believe or not, if rebirth is natural, the belief is not important for that. You can say that you don't believe in rebirth, but you cannot stop rebirth if it is natural, just because you don't believe it. If birth, old age, sicknesses, human problems, and death are natural, no one can stop them. In the same way, rebirth also natural phenomena. All these are natural occurrences. Since the Buddha has explained how rebirth takes place and the correct method to get rid of rebirth, we regard this as one aspect of Buddhism. A religion cannot create rebirth, but religion can tell us how to get a better rebirth and how to avoid unfortunate rebirth and avoid rebirth if repeated birth and death create suffering. Religion can guide us to understand that rebirth is true. It is not necessary to depend on religion. Today, all over the world, people have discovered more than enough reasons, scientifically and psychologically, for us to accept that it is true without depending on any belief. Scientists and psychologists do not depend on religion. They have no faith in God. They have no idea about karma. They depend on evidence and reason only. There are hundreds of cases in many parts of the world where some people suddenly remember their previous birth and reveal their names and places and where they were, their activities and many other incidents. Those who investigated many of those incidents found out that they are true. It is difficult to deny such discoveries. Another evidence is hypnotism. There is no religion in hypnotism. When the mind is diverted towards the subconscious mind, the storehouse of consciousness projects the accumulated mental habits or mental tendencies. There we can recall our memories and many things that we have learned and recorded in that subconscious mind. Many people could remember the languages and many other subjects that they have learned during their previous life. At the moment, we cannot use this subconscious mind because the normal mind is influenced by our five senses and some other mental objects. Therefore, subconscious mind is completely eclipsed. But occasionally, we get some information from the subconscious mind in the form of dreams. Because while we are sleeping, five senses are not engaged with the mind. Therefore, subconscious mind gets the chance to project some mental tendencies and appear as vision or dream. That is how we get some information from the subconscious mind. There are many who can hypnotize others in many countries. Recently, a lady in Australia, a country where people do not believe in rebirth, was hypnotized and she could manage to trace back her memory up to 7 previous births. When others examined according to her information, they found out her information are correct. Again, parapsychologists who studied more on subconscious mind started to deal with the mind and realized that rebirth is true. Recently, BBC News announced that according to their observation, today 20% of the Christian world also accept that rebirth is true. But this is not a new discovery. Christianity accepted this belief from the very beginning for 553 years up to Constantinople Religious Council. It was during this council that they discussed this matter and decided to reject. Now it seems slowly they are coming back to the old belief. We must learn how to face facts without any religious prejudice. This is also one of the advices given by the Buddha. Since we have enough reasons to accept rebirth, we don't believe that it is mythological or traditional belief. When a man is about to pass away, at that moment, no renewed physical function occurs in his mind. This is just like a motorist releasing the accelerator before stopping so that no more pulling power is given to the engine. Similarly, no more material qualities or karma arise. Buddhists do not believe that the present life is the only life between two eternities of misery and happiness. Nor do they believe that angels will carry them to heaven and leave them there for all eternity. They believe that this present life is only one of the indefinite numbers of states of being, and that this earthly life is but one episode among many others. They believe that all beings will be reborn somewhere for a certain period of time, as long as their good and bad karma remain. What is the cause of rebirth? The Buddha taught that ignorance produces desire. Unsatisfied desire is the cause of rebirth. When all unsatisfied desire is extinguished, then rebirth ceases. To stop rebirth is to extinguish all desires. To extinguish desire, it is necessary to destroy ignorance. When ignorance is destroyed, the worthlessness of every such rebirth is considered as an end in itself. Then, craving or paramount need of existence again and again can be abolished. Ignorance also begets the illusive and illogical idea that there is only one existence for man. And the other illusion is that this one life is followed by a state of eternal pleasure or torment. The Buddha taught that the ignorance can be dispelled and sorrow removed by realizing the Four Noble Truths, but not through any other source. One must cultivate all-embracing compassion. One must also destroy all desire for the lower personal pleasure and selfish desire. Rebirth takes place as long as such craving exists. Craving for sensual pleasure, for attachment. Those strong mental forces prevail in each and every living being in this universe. Those who simply hope and pray that they be not born again must understand that their wishes would not materialize until they make effort to eradicate their selfish craving. Having seen and experienced the uncertainty and unsatisfactoriness of life under worldly conditions, white people try to rid themselves of these repeated birth and death by following the correct path. Those who cannot reduce their selfish craving must be prepared to face unsatisfactory and uncertain situations associated with rebirth and becoming again and again. Another difficult thing to understand about rebirth is whether the rebirth is simultaneous or not. This is a controversial issue even amongst the prominent scholars. Some people believe that rebirth or conception takes place immediately after death without any intermediate state. At the same time, some others believe that the departed person remains in spirit form for a certain number of days before rebirth takes place. Another interpretation regarding the same belief is that it is not the spirit, but the deceased person's consciousness or mental energy remains in the space and its own mental energy of craving and attachment support him to remain there. However, sooner or later, rebirth must take place. The spirit form of life in any plane of existence is unfortunate, and their life in spirit form are not everlasting. How does rebirth take place? Although physical body is no more capable of functioning, mental energies do not die with it, continue to take some other shape or form which we call another life. The main force for conditioning another life is craving, desire, volition, thirst to live, and does not end with the non-functioning of the physical body, but continues to manifest itself in another form, producing another life, which is called rebirth. The great rishis in India, Pythagoras, Socrates, and Plato in Greece, have all promulgated the doctrine of rebirth. Modern poets, philosophers like Emerson and Whiteman in America, Tennyson and Wordsworth in England, and Schopenhauer, the most brilliant German philosopher, all of them have given their full support. From Christian pulpits, there were two great churchmen, Henry Ward Beecher and Philip Bruce, who told their listeners that rebirth was a Christian doctrine too. Josephus, the famous Jewish historian, in his Antiquity of the Jews, says that belief in rebirth was part of the tradition of the ancient people of Israel. According to Buddhism, apart from mind and matter, which continued this so-called being, there is no immortal soul or an eternal ego which man is either gifted with or has obtained in a mysterious way from a mysterious being or force. In the ultimate sense, a Buddhist cannot think an unchanging soul. Any being in the form of a deva or a man or an animal, these forms are merely the temporary manifestation of the karmic force. The Buddhist concept of soul is nothing but human consciousness. The nature and functions of this consciousness is very clearly explained in the Buddha's teaching. Those who could not understand the activities of the human consciousness think that there must be some extraordinary energy besides mind or consciousness. Anyway, whatever word that we use to express this energy, such as soul, a spirit, consciousness, or mind, each and every person believes that there is some sort of unknown, unseen energy which is responsible for the destiny or the existence hereafter. By using one of these words, people maintain a concept according to their respective religious background. However, the mind or the consciousness explained by the Buddha can be understood without depending even on religious belief. That is why modern psychologists appreciate and accept this interpretation of the Buddha without depending on any religious background. Death is not the end of our life. It is a temporary end of a compounded physical body. Physical body is not a life. This body is to accommodate life. Life is the combination of mind and matter. This integration of this combination is called death. Recombination of mind and matter is called rebirth. Mental attitude, anxiety, attachment or craving for various mental tendencies or mental habits are responsible for conditioning the next existence to be a pleasurable or miserable one. external agency is not responsible for that. What the Buddha says is that you are the result of what you were. You will be the result of what you are. That means you are solely responsible for your existence and your pain and pleasure.